might even scare you a little bit, which is totally okay. Do you guys any like scary movies? Yeah.
Yeah.
There were like two of you that were like, yeah. And the rest of you are like, not really. I'm not a huge fan of scary movies, but my younger sister, one of my younger sisters is, and she forces me to watch them with her. And so I have done that, and it has been an interesting roller coaster, the many ones that we've watched. And it's scary, some of them. To be honest, this is going to be probably the most difficult message that I'm going to speak this weekend. And it's not because I'm going to have trouble speaking it, but I believe that it's going to be, some of it's going to be the most difficult for you to actually even believe. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the supernatural realm a little bit. So it's going to be scary. Like I said, you might not be able to sleep tonight, but I feel like you need to hear this. Because if there is a supernatural God that you cannot see, then there must be an evil realm that you also cannot see. And I'm worried that if I don't share this with you, that for the rest of your lives, you might have difficulty in believing in a supernatural God who created the universe. We know Him as God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Before I start, I just want to pray, if that's okay, with you guys. I love it when, like, people ask, like, preachers ask questions as if I'm going to give you a choice. I'm just going to pray anyway. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for making yourself known to some of us. God, I just pray for those that are here that may not understand what's going on or may not understand what it is that you have to say with them. I just pray that you'd open their hearts. I pray that you'd open all of our hearts, to be honest, to what it is that you have to say to us this morning, what it is you have to teach to us. I pray that what it is you have to teach to us will transform our lives forever. That we wouldn't leave here unchanged. God, I know that you brought each and every one of us here for a purpose, and that's to be changed in some way. It may be in a small way, or it may be that you're going to alter the course of our lives for the rest of ever. God, I just pray that we'd be open to that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Samuel 16:14-23. This is the story continuing on from yesterday. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, "Behold now, a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the harp." And when the harmful spirit of the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. So Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David, your son, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey who was laden with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. And David said to Saul, or David came to Saul and entered his service, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the harp and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. When I was a lot of your age, I think from the age of about 14 to 18, I worked at this camp. And it was pretty crazy, actually. I started when I was 14 working in the kitchen. And then the next year, I worked in the kitchen for about 2 weeks. And then I was a junior counselor. And then the following summer, I was a senior counselor. And then to the 2 years after, 2 summers after that, I was the program director. So it was pretty cool because God kind of grew me like as a person. And I was able to kind of move up in my role there. But it was a Native Bible camp up north. And it's pretty cool, actually. Really terrifying. But when I was about, I think it was the second week, so I'm like 14 years old, and we go up to the Native camp, Native Bible camp. And I get there, and I'm laying in bed, and the one counselor, he's just like, yeah, so just want to prepare you, but one of the kids, he is, he's got a demon. And I'm just like, okay. It's like, yeah. Last night I was walking through the hallway, and all of a sudden when I turned the corner, I saw this like vision just standing in the middle of the room. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like 14 years old, right? And I'm like, no, this kind of stuff isn't real. But like instantly I'm absolutely terrified. I'm like, first off, I've never heard anything like this in my life. And I don't want to experience this, no way. And so he's telling me the story about what happened the night before. Scared the life out of me. I didn't sleep all night. And the rest of the summer didn't hear anything of it. The following year when I was program directing, there was this young boy there that kept talking about how he sees spirits at night. And I'm like, okay. So this one night, me and my counselors were in the counselor cabin, and we're just hanging out in there, and go into the next room where the campers are just to check on them, and there is this boy. He's just like rolling around in his bed, like just shaking and saying all these really weird things, and I'm like, okay, this is so creepy, like this is so terrifying, and so. I go back in the room, I'm like, guys, I'm just like, something's going on in this guy's life, in this kid's life. And I feel like he shouldn't be alone. I feel like one of us needs to go in there and spend the night in there. And so we draw straws, and whoever got the shortest straw had to go in there. Because we were all terrified. We didn't want to. And I got the shortest straw! And so we go in there, I go in there, and I just like lay down in the empty bed. I'm just like lying there. This is a really narrow bed, but I'm just lying there. Oh, lost me. I'm just lying there in bed, and I'm just like looking over, and I'm like, oh man, like this is so creepy. What's going to happen? I don't know. But then all of a sudden, I just felt like this sense of like calm in my heart. And so I'm like, okay, this is it, God. I believe in you wholeheartedly. I'm serving you right now, and I can't even see you. If you're real, then maybe whatever it is that is in his life is real. So God, if you are real, please put a hedge of protection around this place. And whatever it is in his life, I pray that you would cast it out. And I pray that it would no longer harm him. I pray that it would no longer bother him. And I pray that he would turn to you. And that you would be his Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And I fell asleep. I fell asleep. And then, is this on upside down? Maybe. Oh, it is. Okay, there we go. I fell asleep in bed, and it was about 11:34 at night. 11:34. Fall asleep, and then all of a sudden, I jolt up out of bed. Oh, sorry. I jolted up out of bed, like this, and I'm just like, and as I jolt up out of bed, I look to my right, and there's a vision that goes right through the window. And is gone. And everything in the room is calm. And this boy, for the first time, That night is peaceful and sleeping perfectly calm. It was terrifying. But from that moment on, I realized that the power of God is so real. And although you can't see Him, He is real. And I believe that His Spirit is with you if you accept Him. I believe that because of this experience. Before this experience, I questioned. I really did question. But then when I had a supernatural experience, I couldn't question anymore. Here's the thing. I know it says that the harmful spirit was from the Lord. I don't actually believe that the Lord Himself would send a harmful spirit to anybody. But here's what I do believe. I believe that the Lord allowed the harmful spirit to consume Saul for a purpose. Like, I don't think that, just yesterday we were talking about how Saul, he defeated the Amalekites and then he took all that stuff for himself. God's not standing up in heaven and being like, all right, now I'm going to send the harmful spirit to, harm you because you disobeyed me. That's not what happened. But I think that God did give the Spirit permission to go and be there with Saul for a purpose. And here's why I believe that. There's a guy named Job. He was like a devout Jesus follower. Okay, he followed God with his whole life. The Bible says that he was blameless. It doesn't mean that he never sinned. It's one of those things where if you were to meet somebody and they were like so nice and so kind, and you were like, man, that person is like perfect. They're so perfect. Okay? Job was a man of wealth. Okay? He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 kids, almost like my family. I come from a family of 12 kids. It's pretty crazy. Okay, he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, and 5 female donkeys. The Bible said that Job was the most wealthy man in the East. The most wealthy man. I want to pick up this passage, actually. Job chapter 1, 1 through 12. I'm going to start in verse 6. Just listen in. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless an upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge of protection around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Where did Satan go? He went to Job. He went to give him a real hard time. That's what he did. When the Bible says that a harmful spirit in verse 14 and 15, of 1 Samuel 16, when it says that a harmful spirit from the Lord, it's not saying that God Himself sent the spirit. But what it's saying is that God allowed it to happen. Why? I believe that God allows bad things to happen sometimes so that He can demonstrate to us how good He actually is. Because if you don't experience bad, then you don't know what good is. Okay? God allows bad so he can show us how good he is. I'll tell you why I believe this. 17 years old, my dad, he's a construction worker, okay? He has been for 35 years. He's worked super hard his entire life. Him and I are building this massive addition on the back of our house, okay? We demolished the back of the house and, like, the concrete foundation, we broke it down with our bare hands, okay? And we built up a new one. And when we were pouring the footings for the new foundation, my dad had to run out and get some more cement because we were running out. He's like, but I need you to stay here. I need you to keep mixing because we can't let anything dry out. We need to keep getting it down in there into the forms. And so I'm there mixing. And this is how you mix. You do 3-to-1, okay? So I've got a pail of dry Portland cement and I'm scooping in A gravel, okay? That's how you make footings, A gravel and dry cement. Okay, so I'm there and I've got this mixer and I've got this pail of Portland cement and there's water in there, I throw in the A gravel and then I reach down and I pick up the Portland cement and I'm pouring it in and as I reach down, I drop the pail. And as I drop the pail, out of shock, I look down like this at the pail. You're supposed to wear safety glasses, but who wears safety glasses when they're mixing cement? You wouldn't think that anything is going to go wrong. I drop the cement down in the pail, and when it hits the ground, the cement from the pail shoots back up into my eyeballs. Instantly, my eyes are sealed shut, and I can't see. And it's burning my eyes inside my sockets. And I'm on the ground, on my hands and knees, thinking, I'm never going to be able to see again. And the feel of it, it honestly felt like my eyeballs were burning out of my face. Like I thought, like, if I ever am able to open my eyes again, there's not going to be any eyeballs left. And I'm on the ground, and I'm like, I can't see. And I'm like crawling to the pail of water, and the pail of water's dirty, but I don't care because I need something. So I'm splashing the water in my face, and I feel helpless. I feel helpless. I feel like there's nothing that I can do. There's nobody there that can help me. It's just me there in the backyard, rolling around on the ground. I can't see. My eyes are burning. And so I reach down to the pail, and I'm splashing my eyes. But all I'm doing is splashing my closed eyelids. Because they're sealed shut. And so I'm trying to pry open my eyelid. And when I pry open my eyelid, all it is just this fuzzy blur. I can't see. And so I just start feeling around, trying to find my way back to the house so I can pick up the phone and so I can call 911. So I was able to find it. And I was able to get 911. I pushed a few different buttons before I got 911. But I got 911. Hey, 911, what is your emergency? Hi, I need an ambulance. I can't see a thing. And so they come, and they're there within like 5 minutes. And I'm just sitting in the front door like this. And in this moment, I cry out to God, and I ask Him to help me. Because there's nothing that I can do. I'm going to tell you something. When this bad thing happened, there wasn't once where I questioned God. There wasn't once where I said, geez, God, why did you like allow the Portland cement to like shoot up into my face? I just cried out to Him in desperation because I realized there was nobody else that I could cry out to. I went to the hospital in the ambulance, sitting in the ambulance, and the ambulance guy's got this like tube of water and he's like shooting into my eye and he's prying my eye open. He's like, holy man, that's not good. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. So we get to the hospital and they put me like on this chair and I'm like backwards in like a sink like this. And they put these little suction cup tube things on my eyes and they're like, see you later. And I just say, leave me there. And there's water just pouring into my eyes. For 10 hours. It was so annoying. It was the most annoying sensation ever. Like, there was one point where it felt so uncomfortable that I was just like, somebody help! I'm like this, like, grown teenage man in work boots and dirty jeans, leaned backwards in a sink, laying like, somebody help me, please! And when they gave me these pills, and they're like, hey man, we don't usually give these to anybody because they could be really bad for you, but take these because if you wake up in 8 hours, you're going to wish you were never alive because it's going to be so painful. So they gave me these pills, and I took two of them, and I slept for 16 hours. I'm like, man, I don't know what they gave me, but this is good stuff. When I left the hospital, I still couldn't see. Everything was just a blur. And I'm just like walking like this. My dad came to pick me up, and I got in the truck, and I went home, and I fell asleep. The next morning, I woke up, and my eyes were like sealed shut with this like huge layer of like green pus. It was so gross. And I had to go to these follow-up appointments for like 3 days after. And I went to the IVI clinic on the first day. And I was just like holding my dad's arm. And I'm like walking through the hospital. And I could see very, very faintly. It was like a blur. The first day, we sit down in the chair. And the doctor says, dude, I can't even believe that you can see at all. He's like, we had a guy come in here with the exact same thing. And he's blind. He's been blind for the rest of his life. He can't see at all. By the third day, I had 100% of my sight back. 100%. Here's the thing. I was helpless. There was nobody else to turn to except for God. In this moment, Saul, he was helpless. There was nobody else that he could turn to. Saul's servants tell him what to do, and he listens to them. Have you ever been helpless in a situation and your friends like give you advice and you're not sure about it? I'm really glad Saul listened because he had a demon. Like, I'm so glad that he listened to them. You know, if someone was with me when I got the cement in my eyes and was like, you should probably call an ambulance. I'd be like, yeah, no, really. Thank you. Thank you for your advice. If I was never in the lowest valley, then I wouldn't truly know how high the tallest mountain really is. And you know what? That's just reality. Life's going to be hard sometimes. But it's also going to be awesome. God allows us to go through highs and lows so that we can grow. Here's the thing. God had a plan for David's life. And that's the other thing that I want you to get from this. I believe God allows things to happen for a reason, for a purpose. I believe that God allowed this to happen so that he could bring Saul and David together. And tonight you'll understand why. Okay, verse 20. Jesse loads a donkey and sends David off to meet Saul. This is the beginning of a very important journey for David. God has something super special in store for him. David was a shepherd boy. He's sitting out in a field all day with a bunch of sheep. God has something else in mind for him. He didn't know what it was, but he got on the donkey and he went anyways. And he knew something. He knew one thing. He knew that God was with him. That's all he knew. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know. There have been so many times in my life when I've had to step out and I've had no idea. I've had no idea what the outcome would be. I had no idea what I would face. I had no idea. But I did know that God was with me. And that's something that's never changed. I just want to read these few verses to you again. Verse 21 through 23. And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the harp and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. David went from being a shepherd boy to being someone that God was using to cast out demons. That is unbelievable. God was using David to do something supernatural. I kind of find humor in it a little bit. Because Saul sends, like, David comes and, like, he's doing these amazing things for Saul. And then Saul sends to Jesse, he's like, "Hey, let David remain in my service, for he's found favor in his sight." Yeah, of course he found favor in his sight. He's casting demons out of you. Of course you found favor in his sight. How cool is that? I mean, I find it pretty awesome. You know what's even cooler? That's not even the most amazing thing that God's going to use David to do. He doesn't know that yet. But God's going to use him to do something much greater. I'm going to invite the band back up too as I close this out. Don't ever sell God short. If you feel that he's completed all that he's going to do in your life, in and through you, that's not true. He's got more for your life. He's got more for you. All you have to do is to surrender yourself to him and understand that he is with you and that that plan is something that he wants to live out through you. I don't know everything that's happened in your life, but I don't need to, because God knows. I don't know the things that you've walked through. I don't know what your family life is like. I don't know if you have trouble sleeping at night because of things that are going on. I don't know that, but God knows, because he made you and because he's with you. He's leading and he's guiding you. And if you've gone through some crap in your life, if things have happened to you or in your family that you just don't understand, know this, that God understands and he has a purpose for it. He has a purpose for it. He's guiding you and he's leading you. Okay? Your past is not your future. Don't let your past determine your future. Don't let what happens today determine tomorrow. Don't allow that. That's your decision. God can't decide that for you. But he's willing to walk with you through making that decision. All you have to do first is believe that he is with you. And believe that he's going to use you to do miraculous things just like he did with David. And just like he's going to do with David. Let's just close our eyes and let's just pray. Dear God, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you that you were with David. Thank you that you worked through him to do miraculous things. God, I pray that this would be an example for us. God, I pray that we wouldn't sell ourselves short. We wouldn't sell you short for what you can do in and through each of us. I pray that each and every one of us would believe that you are with us and that you're guiding every step, that our past doesn't determine our future, that today doesn't determine tomorrow. God, your mercies, they're new each day. It doesn't matter how much we've sinned. It doesn't matter what we've done. Because when you died on the cross, you went lower than we could ever go, bearing our sins on the cross. And when you rose again, you went higher than we could ever go. You became greater than we could ever be. God, I just pray that this moment now would be the beginning of something great in each and every one of these young people's lives. That this wouldn't just be a moment, that it would be the first chapter of something great, an amazing story that you're telling. Because I believe that each and every one of these young people have a purpose. I believe that each and every one of these young people, you have a plan for their lives. And that you want to use them. You want to use them to do something great. But that takes a choice. In order to do that, you've chosen them. They have to choose you. I pray that your presence be made known to them, all of us. I pray that it be known to all of us. And that for the rest of our days, we would serve you and love you because of who you are, not because of what we can do. In Jesus' name.